Today's scripture reading is from John 21, 1 to 22. If you do not have a Bible, please just raise your hand, and one of the ushers will provide one of the church Bibles for you. Again, the scripture reading is John 21, 1 to 22. John 21, 1 to 22. Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon, Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the son of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your nets on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish. They were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals. There were fish on it, some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of fish, of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was risen from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" Yes, Lord, he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself. And went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciples whom Jesus loved was following him. This was the one who had leaned against Jesus at the supper and said to him, and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Today we do not have a sermon, but instead we have 10 sermons. Hey, so I suppose we'll be ending the service around 3 o'clock. All right. At 5:30 this past Wednesday in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, the 11-member mission team returned from the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago, and we have great stories to tell. And actually, there will be 11 sermons, but one of our members is not able to make it today, so she will kind of share with us at another time. But our team is went out because Cornerstone, you sent us out. So today we want to testify to how God actually worked through your prayers and your efforts in sending us out. So I'm going to actually introduce the team to you. Our team is called LOST. LOST is actually stands for Loving Our Savior in Trinidad. It's made up of 11 members. And as I call your name, please come and take your seats up here on the podium. Our team co-leader, Pastor Jeff Wisman. Assistant team leader and also a coordinator for the music ministry, Vivian Ma. Our team meeting coordinator, Daniel Zhao. For the team's children ministry, our coordinator for children ministry, Wilson Hsu. One of the most important people on our team because she was handling as our medic, Ms. Samantha Jang. Coordinating for the supplies, and this is no supplies, all right, Alice Shi. Our team treasurer, Jeremy Shum. Our other assistant leader and also coordinator for our prayer ministry, Cindy Chung. Another coordinator for our prayer ministry, Mr. Brian Lee. Our evangelism coordinator, Adelaide Zhao, is actually on vacation, so she couldn't join us today, but she'll be sharing at another time. So today's our sermons, the testimonies will not be... We're not actually one each person doing their own little gig, their little presentation. But we're doing this like an interview format. So I'm going to start asking some questions. So our first question actually is for Pastor Jeff. Pastor Jeff, this is your first time in Trinidad. So tell me if you could actually tell Cornerstone what's one thing you liked most about Trinidad. It's just like a little start off.
I liked the people of Trinidad. They're very diverse, and meaning there's people that are from Indian background, Muslim background, or Persian background, and African background, and I was like the only Caucasian there. Okay. So it was very interesting. Yeah.
So you felt like a minority there.
Very much so. Yeah.
Okay, Pastor Jeff, could I first ask you, since we were co-leaders on the team, can just please tell Cornerstone what our mission was? What was this short-term team's job? What was our responsibility? What was the task at hand?
Okay.
Just share with
Cornerstone. Primary responsibility for us was to be lost. No, I'm just joking. we had a twofold response. Primary purpose, and one was to go to Trinidad and partner with the churches and ministries there to serve them in any way we could, to be partnering with them in the ministry that they're already doing there in Trinidad. And along with that, then the other part of our purpose was in the process of doing that, that we would be open and ready to follow Christ in how He is working within us. So we're partnering with them, doing the work of Christ, but also how is God working in us in the process of serving. And there's a verse that I was reminded of that speaks of this in Philemon 6. There's only one chapter there. Philemon 6 says, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. And that's what happened is as we served with those ministries and churches down in Trinidad, that we deepened in our understanding of Christ and how He works in our lives.
Thank you. So you felt that actually it was more for our learning as well?
Both.
Okay.
About
the people we work with, the organization, our host organization? Could you just tell us about who they are?
Yeah, we stayed at the compound of Trinidad and Tobago Urban Ministries. And they provided housing, and they also provided ministry opportunities for us.
Okay.
And food, very good food, yeah.
Okay, All right. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Let's turn the mic over to Vivian Ma. Okay, Vivian, let me ask you, this is actually your third time in Trinidad. What food was the most memorable? What Trinidadian food was the most memorable to you? Because I ask this so that those of us in Cornerstone, if you're thinking of going down to Trinidad and Tobago, you might be thinking, hey, maybe I want to consider because, hey, I like the sound of that, you know, the food that you mentioned. Okay, Vivian, tell us what food was the most memorable to you.
I think there's two for me, but I think my team would definitely say that the most memorable meal was doubles.
Doubles. Tell us what doubles are.
Doubles.
Please.
Is just goodness in your mouth. So it's made out of like this kind of like a pita bread kind of pancake kind of thing. And inside you fill it with chickpeas. I think it has like a lot of spices, kind of curry based. And it's more of like a street food. And it happened to be the first thing that we did when we arrived to Trinidad. We got off the plane, went to our like where we were living at the compound, and then we walked straight to the first double stand, and we all had enjoyed a double. And that's a very common thing, like to eat. I think people eat it on their way to work as some breakfast and things like that. So, but for me, my favorite thing I ate was this dish called buljo. I think it's like kind of like a fresh salad mixed with salted fish, and it was so good. And we had it for breakfast, and we put it on some bread, and that was the most memorable. I still think about it. I look at the picture all the time. And wish it would come to life, like eat it again.
You want the salted fish to come to life. Okay, all right. Thank you, Vivian, for sharing with us the gastronomical side of our trip. How about our trip, since you're the one of our assistant leaders, can you tell Cornerstone about the training that we went through prior to the trip and also even during the trip, if there's any?
Oh, okay. Well, our team started training sessions. We started meeting together at the end of June, and we were trained in different things, different areas of ministry, things like children's ministry, like how to work with kids, evangelism, how do we can share the good news with the people we meet. We did things like cultural sensitivity. You know, the Trinidad has a very different culture, and it's very important for us to be aware of the differences so that we don't offend anyone. For example, if we call someone a freshman, that means they're like a child molester type of person, not a first year in college or first year in high school. So that's a very important word not to say there. Things like that. But
unless you want to say that.
Unless that's what you want to say, yeah. But you shouldn't call yourself a freshman. Okay, anyway. I think more importantly, we also did spiritual readiness, and we talked a lot about servanthood, how important it is to be a humble servant when we're serving, to be flexible and things like that. And we also did a physical training for a day. We went to a ropes course out in Pennsylvania, and there a lot of us faced our fears. We were faced with challenges, and it was supposed to help us, you know, on the trip if we were to face challenges there, you know, how to trust in God and things like that.
Vivian, when the congregation hears that we have to face our fears, what are you talking about? When we go to a ropes course, what does that involve? Why do you talk about facing our fears?
At the ropes course, what the ropes course is, a lot of it is, the first part we did a lot of teamwork together. And, you know, for some people, they like to work on their own, or they like, you know, they're not used to working in teams. So that might be a challenge for people, learning how to communicate, learning how to stay committed to what we're doing and things like that. The second half of the day was a big part. A lot of our members are afraid of heights or afraid of jumping off things or just being attached to a harness or something like that. So I think for our team, that was a big challenge, facing our fears, things that we're afraid of. And on the trip, you know, fear, we might not be high up all the time, but I think, you know, there's a fear of stepping out, taking initiative, or talking to people who are different from us. So that was a good way to practice that idea.
Thank you, Vivian. All right.
You're welcome.
Okay. Dan, this was your first time in Trinidad, right? Okay, please.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Daniel, can you please tell Cornerstone, especially those who've never been to Trinidad and Tobago, what your impression was of the place, of the people? Let's say you have to explain to somebody who's never heard of Trinidad. Actually, has anyone in congregation never heard of the place, or you don't know where it is on the map, Trinidad and Tobago? Anyone? Yeah, okay. Some people don't know, right? Because it's actually a very small place. Not many people have heard of it. Can you tell us what Trinidad is like and what Trinidadians are like?
Trinidad is in the Caribbean, first of all. It's a 7 miles from Venezuela. There's not too many roads there, so not too many paved roads, so if there's a traffic jam, it's pretty bad. There's also these crevices alongside the roads that are basically sewage. Like, it's exposed, and if it's really bad, you smell it while you're walking. The houses are sort of flat, majority of them, and they're strange colors. They're colorful.
Very interesting pictures now of Trinidad. Okay, so tell us more.
Like when we went to VBS, we would always pass by this house that was just completely hot pink. It was an eyesore. The weather, just pretty hot. Actually, it rained a lot, but we were fortunate enough to never really be outside when it rained really hard. So thank God for that. The people are really outgoing. They're nice. They will greet you just like here. But there's also always a sense of sort of laziness because it's very laid back in Trinidad. Like, life is pretty slow. Like, if you, what you would see if you went south here in America. But it's not that they don't value punctuality and showing up on time. They do follow the schedule. It just seems like they're not never in a hurry. So it's not really an insult. It's just that life is more chill.
So, Daniel, I take it you're not saying the people there are lazy. You're just saying that the atmosphere is a little bit more, for us, we feel a bit more laid back and relaxed.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Dan, since this was your first time in Trinidad and Tobago, let me ask you, what was the thing you missed most about home while you were on the trip? Because of all the eyesore colors and everything. So you probably missed something about New Jersey or home. Is there anything you missed most while you were on the trip?
My bed.
Okay, thank you, Dan. Later on, we'll hear about what Dan has learned from the trip. Okay, if you can pass on the mic to Wilson. Wilson, let me ask you, what was your worst experience on the trip?
Oh, you would ask that question. On the first night, I didn't set up my mosquito net, and I woke up, and my entire right side of the face was completely swollen with mosquito bites. And then,
will we actually see any pictures later on? No, we don't see any pictures.
Yay,
if you want to see pictures, I can just punch his eye, and then you'll see it. All right, okay. Okay. That was your worst experience? Tell us more about that.
Oh, there's really nothing. It was pretty bad, and it was like, it happened like, I think around like Saturday, like Friday. So we had service on Sunday, and I obviously couldn't go around with that because it was like all these other churches that we weren't really familiar with.
His eye was swollen like a big hard-boiled egg, right? Right on his eye. So eyelid was totally swollen. His ear was totally swollen. He looked like an alien. Yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't want to kind of like offend anyone or like cause anyone like distress for looking at me. So I wore sunglasses to service on Sunday. But I don't know. It was okay. Like, yeah. I got made fun of, but I was okay.
Yeah. Everywhere Wilson went, even to several churches, we had to explain to the congregation why he's wearing sunglasses to church. Because in many cultures, that is seen as a sign of a disrespect, right? So, but we said actually it's out of respect that he did that. Okay, right. Wilson, could you please tell us about the living conditions? Since you mentioned about mosquito nets and getting bit, the living conditions and even the schedule of our team, our daily schedule of our team.
The living conditions actually were pretty good. Each room was actually air conditioned, so we actually. Like, it was a relief to walk into a room after like a day out in the sun. The food was very good there, and I would say that most of the rooms were very clean, with the exception of mosquitoes. But you can't really avoid that when you're going down to the Caribbean. So our daily schedule was pretty like straightforward. We wake up, and during the first week, we would go out to the VBS, and that would take place like pretty early. So we'd wake up early, have breakfast, go to the VBS. And then come back, and somewhere along the road we find a place to sit down for lunch because we actually weren't allowed to eat or drink on the bus. So we had to like kind of like stop off by like the side of a highway or like under a bridge or find a double stand to eat on next to. And then after that, we would come back. We would, I guess, have a little bit of free time before we did, like, visitations. We would often do a lot of evening visitations, or we would go off, visit, like, elderly homes in the afternoon. And then after we finished that, we'd come back, and we would have dinner. And after dinner, we would, relax for a little more before we had our team debriefing. So, and then we'd go to sleep at, like, 1 in the morning. So
what time does the day usually begin?
Pretty early. I can't remember. 6 or 7.
So 6 or 7 in the morning, and we would go to bed around? 11, 12, 1.
We wanted to, but we would stay up until, like 1.
Stay up to play, to talk, to chat?
No, because it's hard to sleep.
Oh, okay. It's hard to sleep, okay. And oftentimes we had team meetings as well.
Yes.
That went too late in the preparation for ministry. Okay. Thank you, Wilson. You can pass the mic back over to Pastor Jeff. Sammy.
Hello.
Hello. Sammy, this was your first time in Trinidad.
Yes.
And this was your second short-term mission trip. Did you like Trinidad?
Yes.
What do you miss most of Trinidad?
I miss... This is kind of weird, but I miss the sky. I'm one of those weird people that likes to just stare at the clouds for hours. So,
how's your sky different from our sky?
The clouds are a lot higher up in Trinidad, so you don't get a lot of lightning there.
Oh,
and you get to see the contours of the clouds more.
Interesting. Okay. Well, Samantha, can you tell the congregation about our team dynamics? Because there were 11 of us, 10 of us here today, but the 11 of us, you know, from different backgrounds, different ages, different, just different, okay? How did we work together? I mean, what was the dynamic like? And later I'm going to ask you something about also our ministry on that first day of our VBS.
This is also kind of strange, but as different as we are, I think that our team was, like, really, really absurdly balanced. Hmm. If you name any personality trait, I can probably find a team member that has it or embodies it. And
okay. How about a handsome trait?
Everyone except Ian.
Okay, moving on.
Just kidding.
All right. Yes. Okay. So you found the team dynamic, was it because we're all very different and it's still...
I actually have a couple verses
okay.
from Ephesians 4:11-13. Or I'll cut it short because it's really long. It is he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service.
All right.
Yeah.
Good word. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Samantha, could you also tell Cornerstone, because one of our jobs there was to work in an orphanage. But the orphanage, there are some things that need to be done before we could start our vacation Bible school. Could you tell us about a little bit about the cleaning ministry, or we would call it construction ministry?
Oh, so the day before we had to do the VBS, the main building burned down. So when we got there, they had to, clean out another building for us. And when we got there, it was really dusty. When you started sweeping, there would just be clouds coming up at you, and then you'd breathe them in and start coughing. So we had to clear the dust out of that room. And what we did was, the guy who was taking care of all these 40 kids, he got these buckets of water, and we had to, dump it on the dust to sweep it out. Otherwise, it would be in our lungs. And the windows were also pretty dirty, so Cindy had to clean them.
Was that all about the construction or cleaning? I remember there were moving, people were moving.
Right, so Dan, Pastor Jeff, and Wilson also had to move all these concrete cinder blocks out of a truck.
Yeah.
And it seemed really, really, really tiring.
So our mission trip did involve some physical labor, then manual labor. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Samantha. Pastor Jeff, your turn.
Sure. Alice, this has been your first trip to Trinidad. And so what did you like most about Trinidad?
The food.
Any food in particular?
Roti.
Roti, you want to explain what
that is? Yeah, it's mashed up beef with potato and has curry base, right?
Yeah. Okay, she didn't like roti then.
Oh, well, the whole meal. It's just like a tortilla, and like you put like this curry stuff on it, and you eat it with your hands. It's really good.
Yeah, yeah. As you can see, we really ate well down there. I thought I'd lose weight, but actually I think I gained a couple pounds. Yeah, thank you, Alice. Alice, could you, we were just talking about team dynamics. Could you explain to everyone kind of how did we, you see us work as a team, especially with respect to VBS?
Well, for VBS, each person had a different job. Like Sammy was crafts and Cindy was teacher. But even though we individually had a job, we worked together to help each other. Like Cindy was a teacher and she had like coloring pages each night to color. And everyone would help her color until like 1 a.m. We would always help people set up. We would always help. I know Jeremy had problems for games, and the teachers would also like encourage the kids to play. So as a group, we helped each other a lot to just like protect the kids and like encourage the kids.
Could you explain to people how we were organized more in more detail?
We would prep for like 2 hours every night for each VBS day. Muppets, we would practice for an hour, rehearse after rehearse. It was tiring, but it really paid off.
Okay.
Because the kids said that we were the best. We were the best group that came.
And why did they say we were the best group?
Because we, even though Ian really made us do a lot of work. it really showed, we really learned how to be flexible. And Sammy would have to prepare at least like 2 crafts just in case. Jeremy would have to prepare at least like 2 games just in case. All the teachers had to learn how to adapt to the kids.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, we got a comment from the leader, Clava, that out of all the groups that came, he saw that we were the most organized and working together, where every single kid, no matter what age group, was being paid attention to. So they were very appreciative of that. Thank you, Alice, for sharing about that. Let's, Jeremy. Jeremy, this is your first time in Trinidad as well.
Yeah.
What was the worst experience that you had in Trinidad?
Well, I didn't bring a mosquito net, so my face didn't get swollen, but like I remember waking up one morning that I looked at my arm and I counted and I had like 18 mosquito bites on one arm. So, and then like the day after it started to get irritating, so I started itching it a lot, then like started blistering, and yeah, that hurt a lot.
Mosquitoes were our friends there.
Yes, it was.
Jeremy, could you share with everyone a little bit about the visitation?
Yeah, most of our visitations were during the afternoon and evening, but the first one we had was in the morning, and it was at the elderly home. We went to 2 elderly homes, and we went to 1 rehab center, and then the rest of the visitation was composed of door-to-door visitation during either the afternoon or evening time.
Could you go into more detail about what was involved in the door-to-door visitation?
Yeah, we had like toy guides. I don't know. We had guides that helped us go door-to-door. Usually, we would split off into sub teams, or one time we split off into groups of into pairs, and We just split up, walked door to door, and then usually the people are really friendly, so they usually let us in. So then during the visitation, we would just ask them what we could pray for them about, and then if they wanted, we started talking about their lives, and then that's basically it.
Was there one visitation experience that stuck out to you?
Door to door, or just all visitations?
Door to door.
Door to door. Not really. Not that I think about it, but I remember. I think the last door to door visitation that we had, it was in my sub team. We visited this lady who, in the end, Ian prayed for her, and I think she received Christ into her heart. So I think that one stuck out to me the most.
All right. Thank you for sharing that. Appreciate that. Let's move on to Cindy. Cindy, this is your second time? Second time to Trinidad.
Second.
What do you miss most then from Trinidad?
I'm going to say food.
It's a common theme.
I really like the food there. And I think we were blessed to have our own, like, because TTUM, like, have, like, I guess a kitchen engineer that cooks for us every meal. So she made especially Trini food for us, and it was really good.
Thanks for sharing that. And I know that Cindy is doubles is one of your favorites, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember one morning Ian and I went out for something and we got doubles, and Cindy and Vivian were both kind of a little put out that we didn't include them in that. Yeah. Cindy, could you explain a little bit about how we partnered with the local churches?
Sure. So we had the opportunity to work with some of the local churches in Trinidad. TTUM is a ministry organization, but also has a church on the compound. So it has service at 6 p.m. every Sunday. And on the very first Sunday, we had the chance to lead the worship. So four of us led worship, and then the rest of us did a skit for them. And Pastor Ian also gave a message. But overall, we were able to, at least for that, it's called Faith Community Church. And we were able to minister to them. And then the other churches that we also got to work with was one of the Chinese churches in Trinidad. There are only two Chinese churches in Trinidad, and it's about an hour away from where we were living. But we went out on the very first Sunday to attend the Chinese service, and then as well as the English service. So several team members were able to give the testimonies in either Cantonese or English. And then with the Chinese church, they also started a very a young adult fellowship. So we went on the second Sunday for the young adult fellowship, and it was just a chance for us to get to know them better. Because even though we went to the service, we only had so much time to talk to the people. So on the second Sunday, we were really got to know them, and one of our members also gave a testimony in Mandarin, and which is Alice, and the other church that we also worked with was called the Kampu Church. It's very close to where we live, and I think our teams have been there before and ministered to them before, and over there it's a smaller church, but I guess they were glad that we were there to minister to them, and they wanted us to bless them, and Pastor Jeff gave a message there. Sorry. So.
And Cindy's being humble. She is the one who gave the testimony in Cantonese at the Chinese church. So. Yes. Let's move on to Brian. Brian, this is your first time in Trinidad. Which day during the trip would you say was your favorite or most memorable?
I think it would be difficult for me to, like, choose one day, per se. But I think that definitely we had a day where I think it was maybe Wednesday or Thursday. We did VBS in the morning, and then we went to rehab in the afternoon. I think that night we did visitation as well. So it was a very packed day. I think there was, it was getting on in the week, so a lot of us were beginning to get tired. But just the sense among all of us that there was work for us to do, that there were people for us to see and talk to, that there were, I guess, willing hearts that were there, like that we could sense that were there to hear what we had to say, and that we could minister to. So I think that sense kind of gave us energy to go throughout the day. And even though I can't really remember exactly like all of the things that I did that day because it was so packed, just the sense that the whole team was very dedicated and motivated to and had energy, and I think that energy wasn't from us. So just that sense is very memorable for me.
Thanks for sharing that. About you are one of the prayer warriors, we said, prayer coordinators, you and Cindy. Could you explain about what your role was and also how the Ministry of Prayer was instrumental to our ministry as a team to what we did?
Sure. Well, I think we all recognize that it doesn't matter how hard we worked there. I mean, we worked very hard, and we didn't really have that much downtime. But no matter how much energy we put into our work, it doesn't really matter if God's not working beside us. Right? And so Cindy and I, our job was to kind of make sure that we didn't get lost in our work, that we kept our eyes focused on the broader goal, which was sharing God's love, and that love doesn't really come from us either. So in order to do that, we had to keep praying. And so that was, you know, what Cindy and I were trying to make sure that our team was still focused on that. In terms of prayer generally during our trip, I would say that outside of VBS, outside of the Vacation Bible School, our visitations, whether it's door-to-door or whether we're going to a rehab center or an elderly home, we actually don't have that much to offer to them, right? When we go to their door, we knock on their door and we say, hello, you know, we're Christian missionaries from America. And the only thing we can say is we're just walking down the street and we'd like to pray for you if we can, if you'd like it. And the people there are willing to have us pray for them. And so prayer, I think, definitely opened doors. It allows us to build relationships with the people there, even if they aren't Christian, even if there's, for example, the church in Kampu was, that area was very diverse in terms of, like, Hinduism and Islam background. And so most people there weren't necessarily receptive to having us in their homes, but at the very least, you know, we could offer to them. And I think some of us were able to pray with them, at least by the gate of their home or something like that. So in that sense, prayer was actually our source of strength and our greatest weapon.
Thank you for sharing that. Pastor Ian, this is your what's time going to Trinidad?
I lost count. Probably like 10th, 12th, 13th, 14th time.
yeah, old man. Okay.
Hey, speak for yourself.
If you had to describe the trip with five nouns, verbs, or adjectives, what words would you use?
Five words to describe the trip, I'd probably say could be like hyphenated.
I'm flexible.
Old friends, adorable children, mosquitoes, bonding, seafood hunting.
Okay, do you want to explain that last one a little bit?
Oh, because on the last day, we were actually our team. The last 2 days was our off day. So our team went to the beach. And before we went to the beach, we told everybody that 2 years ago we went to Trinidad. We actually, on the beach, none of the Trinidadians knew about this. Well, they know about it, but they're at these small little sea creatures that actually get washed onto the shore and they dig right into the sand. And the Trinidadians call them sea cockroaches. But we actually knew how to actually dig them back out. And they're tiny. And some of them are a little bigger, almost like the tip of your finger. And we found out that we should catch them. They're actually not cockroaches. They're actually like a crustacean. They look like a shrimp without a tail. It's just a big head. So the last time we went, we just grabbed a few of those, and we then took them to the restaurant, and we had the cook fry them up for us, and they tasted great. So this time, our whole team, we were prepared. We actually got tools. We got these sieves. So for a whole day at the beach, 8 hours, the 11 of us actually were on the water's edge. Some of us were like beached seals. We were like beach whales, just lying there waiting for the
waves
to come up.
That was Pastor Ian looked more like a beach whale.
Yes, okay. I was a beach whale, and we were just worked hard. We got a whole bucket of these sea cockroaches, and we that's what I meant by seafood hunting.
Okay, thank you for explaining that. Pastor Ian, could you explain a little bit the purpose of our evening sessions and the value of them?
Sure, my pleasure. Every evening, our team would gather together for the time of, we call it debriefing, and that's for standard operation for all our mission teams. Every night, we actually get together for the sake of team bonding. We also want to process what we learned through the day. So we talk about the best experience, the worst experience, what we learned, and also we had the time to worship and sing. And because I was the only one who got a single room, my room turned into our meeting room as well, so which means I could never really change in there because people, girls, would walk in and out of the room. But it was a small room, so when we actually sang in there, the acoustics were great. It sounded like singing in the bathroom, like in your shower, except there are 10 other people there with you. So we really enjoyed singing together. We learned a lot of things together. We learned Chinese, how to sing in Chinese together because we had to minister in a Chinese church. But those evenings really helped us, a team, to bond together, to learn and process what God was doing in us and through us. And I think really just those were the crucial times where our team really knew who we were and what we were doing there.
Thank you, Pastor Ian.
All right, thank
Back
you.
To you.
All right. Now, actually, we've done kind of the sharing about our what we did in Trinidad. Later on, we're going to actually ask everybody to share really briefly what God was teaching us and maybe some lessons we can share with Cornerstone and perhaps some of the things that what God is really doing in the lives and hearts of men and women. But before that, we actually have a 9-minute video, a little slideshow for those of us who did not get to go. You can see what God did through your prayers. And we're going to put the video on. And this is actually the first time I've never seen it. So, team, we can actually turn around and see what's going on. Can we turn the lights off? Ryan, can you turn off the light on the cross? One of the nursing homes we visited. This is outside another nursing home. This is inside another elderly home. We sat with people and we prayed for them, gave a message. Some of them are bedridden, some of the residents. Hear me kissing one of them. This is at the home of visitation. We went to different homes and families to share with people and pray with them. Door-to-door visitation through the village. Local church ministry, get to share and preach. This is the burnt out building at the orphanage. we're supposed to use that place, but instead we get a little house where we have to clean out.
This is the work we did in the one house, getting it ready for our VBS. They just finished constructing it.
Practicing for Muppets. First few days of Vacation Bible School. We had about 30 students.